Praise the Lord. Can we all stand a minute? Everybody need to just stand and stretch. It's middle of the afternoon. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know, it feels good to stretch, doesn't it? Amen. How many were blessed with the word that Brother Barak shared? Amen. We are going up to Zion. We have to come up higher. Amen.
Yes.
Maybe we could sing a song. I have something on my heart to share. I know we still have a good hour yet. There's some thoughts I'd like to convey as the Spirit of God gives me the unction. But Brother Way, could you bring your guitar up? Maybe we could sing a song while before we sit. I don't know, do some of you just need sometimes just to get up and move a little bit, get the blood flowing? Huh? One yes? Or is more than one? Hallelujah. Let's sing that song again, Ancient Words.
Let the ancient words impart.
Amen.
The Word of God says it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And as we were starting the meeting this afternoon, and the teaching that Brother Barrett gave us, God is doing something very wonderful in our midst. As we listen to the Word of God, it's building a faith within us to come up higher. And you know, the Word says simply, it says, faith cometh what? By hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. And there's something that God does when it talks about God perfecting His church, is that He uses the fivefold ministry for the instruction of the church. It's in Ephesians 4. And I don't know about you, but I have a Bible. I still have my Bible when I was just saved. I don't bring it out too much anymore because a lot of pages are falling out, especially the pages of the book of Ephesians. I don't know how many times that Brother Duseo took us to Ephesians chapter 4, but it wore that book out. I got the pages are worn. I mean, from turning it, he instructed about the fivefold ministry. And they're not only the fivefold ministry, but many other foundational truths that God was bringing the church to an understanding in this hour. Amen? Hallelujah. Just one or two amens. My goodness. Come on, amen? Come on. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm looking out upon a people whose foundation or calling of election has been on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Hallelujah. Just think what you would be. Where would you be, brethren? Where would you be if you heard about salvation and blessed and you spent all your days in a denominational church that believed in salvation? How far would you be? Would you be where you're at today in your understanding or in your growth in the Word of God? Huh? Could you have gotten it just by yourself off somewhere?
No,
there has to be something that God has designed and that God has put in His Word that says that and God has placed in the church the apostle. Who put it in the church? Who did God call? It was God who did it, wasn't it? You know, it isn't designed of man to choose what you are to be for God. Do you know that? I think you all know that. But do you know that is played out every day for thousands of years, that man has tried to pick and tried to do what he could to help God? Huh? Oh, yes. It's sort of like the little story, what are you going to be when you grow up? Huh? Children, you ever play that? Adults, have you ever played that when you were children? Huh? Come on, you're looking at me funny. You've never played that when you were kids? Hey, you know what? I played that as a Christian. I remember being in my home when I was first saved, and some brethren came over, and we began to discuss what our calling election was. And one says, oh, I'm going to be a teacher, and then another one said this and this, and you know, I'm going to be a prophet, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just a young fellow, and I'm feeling so embarrassed. I don't know who I'm going to be, you know? And all of a sudden I thought, well, you know, I was studying in college to be a history teacher, so I'll be a teacher, you know. And you know what the funny thing? I felt so embarrassed that night when I went to bed. I said, oh, God. I just knew it wasn't right. You understand? Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, it's God who calls us. It's God who selects us. And I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't, I think, a year later, I was sitting. Now, I was a very young Christian. I don't think I was only saved a year or two. We had just come into the Word of the Kingdom. And I'm reading in the Word of God, and I go to the Gospels. And I'm reading about the story about how Herod was going to kill Jesus. And God appeared to Joseph in a dream and says, take your son,
They desire his life, and escape into Egypt. And then I read on, it says that he was there for a while, and he had another dream. He said, the man who had sought his life is now dead. Go back into Israel. And as I was reading that, do you know what came to me? All of a sudden I said to God, God, I go, do you speak to the church in dreams and visions as you have in this word? I had no idea. But the more we kept coming into conference and I'd see the Spirit of God move in visions, in conferences and dreams, and it became a reality. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, I started to have some visions and I started having dreams. And I thought, wow, this is very interesting. But one day, I'm just telling you what comes to me right now. One day, I'll always remember, it was a day that I'll never forget. I had a dream one night. It was a Saturday night. We always met on Sunday morning. And I go to bed and I have this dream that we're in fellowship. And as I'm dreaming, I see this man. I won't say who it is. He's probably in this room right now, but he'll probably know who it is. But the man gets up, elder in our church, and he stands at the podium. And as he's standing at the podium, he wants to speak, but he can't speak. And the more he's up there, the more he is like, he couldn't speak and he began to weep. All right? He began to weep. And in the dream, I'm seeing this, and all of a sudden I'm speaking to him in the dream. I said, brother such and such, I said, if you just open your mouth, share what's in your heart, you'll release us all. I wake up that morning, I think, wow, what a peculiar dream. But we go to fellowship that morning. We have our song service, and the very brother that was in my dream gets up, stands at the podium, and he can't speak. And he's there, and it's like he couldn't get out what was in his mouth. And so much, he starts to weep. Well, what would you do, brethren, at that point? If you had a dream, and you saw the very thing happen, and then you do something in the dream, I had no other choice but to say what I said in the dream. So I said, brother such and such, I says, if you would just open your mouth, share what's in your heart, you'll be released. You can release all of us. And he did. And it brought a great release in the congregation. And you know, for many days I thought of that. God, why? Now, I mean, you know, sometimes you have dreams, you have visions, and you interpret it. But who is this God that will peer into 18 hours into the future and see exactly what's happening and give it to you? Come on, think of it, brethren. And I began to, I say, God, I believe in visions and dreams, but boy, this is getting pretty direct. Do you understand what I'm saying? But see, God is coming back to his church. Hallelujah. There are things that God has placed in the church to lead us into righteousness and in truth. Hallelujah. Now, we all know that no man holds all the truth. But as we together, as we look into God, that there is a place in which we can find that place in which we can come on to perfection. Do you understand what I'm saying? The place that God speaks to us is that when I look at today and I start to see something, as Barak was sharing this afternoon, I see a gifting in the man. Come on now. A lot of you are looking strange at me. Are we not able to discern a calling and election upon someone's life? Huh? And when there's a calling election, we should pray for that individual to see it come forth. I've been thinking about Barak the last year or two, and you know, I've always sort of careful, you know, he's my son-in-law, but I see a gifting in the man. And not only in the man, but what is a blessing is that he is of a generation that is, well, I'm of one generation, and my children are of the next generation. And I see God not only bringing a generation, I see Tim Culver here and others that are Barrick's age, my daughter, Pavlina, different ones, Tyson, Shannon. God's raising up a generation that is believing and hearing by the Spirit the word that God is bringing to the church in this hour. Amen? But God also is out of that, He's wanting to raise... He is still calling ministry to do the work of God. Hallelujah. And it is of our responsibility not only to perceive, and but to encourage it. Hallelujah. Because we've seen, Tim, you know it too, seen a lot of people in your generation that were once with us that aren't with us anymore, right? For whatever reason. But the fact is, I thank God for everyone in your generation, Barrick, that's here today. And those that aren't here today, but are following on to know the Lord. And it is important. It is important for us to hear and to follow the Spirit of God. Now, when I say hear and follow the Spirit of God, you know, if you say that to a lot of people out there, some people have a whole different thought pattern than what I believe or think of what it is to hear and follow the Spirit of the Lord. There's some out there that would think, oh, I have the Spirit of the Lord. I can't be taught by anybody. Have anybody ever met anybody like that? Huh? We call them Lone Rangers. Brother Jokes knows the wording of the Lone Ranger, the one who feels, I have this revelation, I have this understanding, and what you're really saying is, I have no need of you. No, we have need because, you know, I can listen to a ministry that is under a certain anointing, whether it's teacher, prophet, evangelist, apostle, but God called what? Five-fold ministry. Huh? Fivefold. And it is because it is the product and the identity that with that fivefold ministry, it's designed to usher or to show us how the church can come into perfection. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when we first got saved as a group here in Dubuque, all right, no, did I say that wrong? Forgive me. All right, let me reword that. Thank you, honey. When we got saved individually and we came together as a group in Dubuque, many of you heard our testimony, but God had a revival in the post office where a number of us worked. God raised up first an evangelist who then brought us the word. And as he brought us the word, it was just the timing of God. You know, who was sharing here today about the... someone was sharing here this weekend, like you had been hearing it many times. Oh, I think it was you, Bert, last night. You were talking when you were first saved. You heard the fourfold things. You know, it did nothing for you until that time that it was energized by God. Why? Because the word says, no man comes to the Father except for first he draws him. So God saw not only to save one, but to save a number of individuals at a particular time that he might then bring in the word of God for a people that would begin to establish them under the message of the kingdom of God or through the apostolic word. So we get saved, not only myself. Let's see, where's Brother Mark? Is he here? He must be out. Brother Mark Giegrich, his wife Sherry, Brother Wade, his wife Sherry, Mary, and Mary, and Rose. Well, Rose was a little later. She was about 8 years later, and Andy. But I'm saying in those very beginning days, God saved a number of us, and then he brought within us, within so many months, it was within months, the book, The Pattern, and we began to meet with people that were walking with a greater hunger or a desire for the fullness of God. We had been in fellowship with different people of different denominations and groups, but God began to bring in the ministries to us. You know, we didn't seek after it. God sent them in. God sent in the apostolic ministry. God sent in the prophetic ministry. He sent in the teacher and evangelists that came in and were encouraging us and ministering to us and bringing us into a place that we might grow. Hallelujah. Amen. It was interesting when Barak wrote this up here. How many of us believe this statement? That Brother Barak, raise your hands if you believe it.
Amen.
Huh? Do everybody understand? Is anybody doesn't understand? Raise your hands. It's not being... you don't have to be afraid to raise if you don't understand it. This statement here defies people that are gifted in Greek, in Hebrew. Huh? I saw one time, and Brother DeCille would always reiterate this, probably as much as he reiterated to us Ephesians chapter 4. Wouldn't you agree? Huh? He would speak over and over and over again. And something so simple, but something that has to come and to be worked into the fabric of our being because there's a reason for it. You know, we are to discern the body of Christ, right? Huh? You know, one time, it was about a year or two ago, we are always growing and always learning. Huh? Every meeting, if you are wanting God, as the Spirit of God is ministering the Word of God, you're learning, you're understanding, you're things are starting to put together like a big puzzle. You know, our life is sort of like a big puzzle, you know? Probably one with 10,000 pieces, maybe 20,000, I don't know. You ever work with big puzzles? I get, my mind goes a little baffled after 300 pieces, you know, but then you see this one for 1,000, 1,500. But God puts puzzles, and you know, it comes to me, certain thoughts and that. Brother Jajoki said something here about a year and a half ago that was very, very true, very simple, but yet very profound. He said, and I think we were in Nigeria at the time, Brother Jokes, you were saying that in every fellowship, you have, in the fellowship, you have people in the outer court. You have people that are at the brazen altar, brazen laver. There are some that are in the holy place, and there are some even that are without the tabernacle. Won't you say that's true? Huh? It is true. We come in, we don't know sometimes. Brother DeCille would say sometimes some people sit in our midst and they've never been saved.
Yes.
So it is a place that we are in different degrees wherever you're at. But God does not condemn us wherever we're at. We're to grow together to come into that place in which we are coming into Christ. Amen? All right, so the church is not the body of Christ, but the body of Christ is the church. So we see the picture of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, what you see here is a picture of the church, right? Huh?
Amen.
Yes?
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 Amen.
A few more yeses?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. If we're out here, we're not part of the church. Now, what makes you part of the church? What makes you part of the church of God? What makes you His possession? Salvation. By what? The blood of Jesus Christ. So, I'm for the church of God. Are you for the church of God?
Amen.
Yes. We're for the church of God. Why? Because God purchased the church with what? His own blood. Hallelujah. What makes you and I brother and sister?
His blood.
If I am born again, I have received His blood where? In my soul. I, which was once dead in sins and trespasses, He has quickened by His blood, and He's made my soul living, right?
Amen.
So, if Brother Jokes, you're born again, aren't you, Brother Jokes? Amen? You've received the blood, amen?
Amen?
So, you're my brother. You're my brother. And you know, whether it's just here or the people of your fellowship, we used to sing a song years ago. Sons of God, the day of Jubilee has dawned so bright and glorious for thee. Remember that song? And it says, and we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one.
Amen.
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 You know, when we talk about the church, you know, I've heard things about saying, well, you're exclusive, or you think you're better than others. I don't think I'm better than anybody. Yeah. In fact, you know, the more I get, I feel, I go, oh God, don't show anybody my wood. You know what I mean? Lord, let them just see my gold. I just want to be like you, Jesus. Huh? So my desire is to reach out to anyone who's blood washed. I'd love to fellowship with them. I'd love to talk with them. But do you know sometimes when you talk with other blood washed people that they're not hearing the same thing that you're hearing? Isn't that true? Huh? You know, I was excited one day. Years we were studying the Word of God. I remember back in Rockford of 82, we started talking about the Word of God and how the Word of God is being diluted. And how, though the King James Version, though it is it's imperfect, but it's more perfect than everything else that is out there, you know. And I came across this brother who I knew and met when we were first saved. He moved down to Christ for the Nations. Very dedicated man in the Lord, you know. When I saw him, I was so very, very excited to tell him about what I knew about the King James. I said, you know, we have this book. You remember, how many remember Gail Riplinger, you know, when she came out with the New Age versions? You know, we had just read it, and I was so excited to share some of the revelations and truth that she found out in the translations and how they were taking the blood and they were taking the life out of it. And so I went up to this brother and I said, oh, brother such and such, I go, you know, you have to read this. And I started talking to him, and he just sat there listening. And I was just waiting for him to get excited, but I found out he wasn't excited at all. In fact, he got mad at me. He got mad and he goes, what are you saying? You saying the New International Versions aren't the Word of God? I says, all I'm saying is there's mistakes in it. And and I'm telling you, a spirit rose up in my brother. It rose up with him. He wasn't hearing. He wasn't seeing. Hallelujah. You know, it was a grievous thing for me that day when I had that encounter, because I loved the brother. Amen. I worked with him. You know, when we were first saved, we would go out and help people. And he was the one I contacted. He had carpentry skills and everything. And we wanted to help this woman out because she was low income and she needed her house fixed up. So he came. He was willing. Worked side by side with them. Has a love for God. And yet, he could not hear what I was saying. Hallelujah. You know, the church is in very low state of disrepair.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Yeah. You know, we are living just what the Word of God says. This is the Laodicean church age. The church can't see. It's blind. It's destitute. It's naked. But God has a plan, brethren. He has a plan that someone must rise up. Or I shouldn't say someone, that there has to be a body of people that can rise up and begin to walk in the truth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, this thing was a real stumbling block when we first got saved. You know, and I'll give you even a little secret sometime. If you ever listen to some of Brother Duciel's older messages on those discs that Brother Gordon was sending out, there was a meeting in Dubuque. And in that meeting, there was a discourse of questions. And in those discourse of questions, there were two men that we were fellowshipping with for 3 or 4 years. Very gifted, very understandable in the Word of God. I mean, Greek scholars, you know, put me to shame. I 30 years later, I still don't know the Greek that this one man did. But after the end of his message, you know, Brother Duciel always says, okay, questions. Cecil loved to have questions. And the one brother rises up. He goes, I just got a question. He says, you teach about the church is not the body of Christ. I want a correction on that. He says, I don't believe that that's true. I was surprised. Here we were. We were sitting in the midst together. We were fellowshipping. We had broke bread. And all of a sudden, one day, it pops up. They didn't believe the word. And I'm thinking, wait a second. This thing seems so simple. Why am I hearing it being twisted? You know, they left that night and they rejected the word that Brother DeCille tried to teach them. And he tried to teach them as a father would, to teach them, to give them an understanding that the body of Christ is not the church. That the church must yield to the Spirit of God in order to become the body of Christ. For it says by what? It says by one Spirit are we what?
Baptized
into one body. Now think of that. You have, how many of you here have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. Huh? Most of all, not. If you haven't and you're born again, you need to ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It's very important because the Spirit of God is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Now, so when we were water baptized, did they come and did you get sprinkled on your head?
No.
Huh? Sprinkled on your head? No. Baptism by what? Immersion. So that you are completely immersed or covered with water, right? So think of the baptism into Christ as being immersed into Christ, into the Spirit of God. Now remember, come on now, and this is all elementary, but it doesn't hurt for us to go over it, is it? So when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where does the Holy Spirit come to us?
In our spirit.
I would say, okay, but what is the designation? Where is the purpose of the Holy Ghost to come to us? Is to what? Get into our souls. So as we submit to the Holy Spirit then fills us, brings us, but then we are baptized into what? One body. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's a scripture verse that talked about going in and going out, but we're designed to be able to come in and stay and to abide. It's like you were sharing last night, Mark, the difference between visiting and permanently dwelling there. Amen? Hallelujah. So, this body of Christ, not only are we to discern how we need to be a part of His body, but do you know it's important for us to discern the body of Christ?
Yes. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Let me ask the question here. Is anybody in this room above being deceived? If you are, raise your hands. Okay, look around, everybody. Does anybody see anybody's hands raised? No. All right, let me ask a second question. How many of you have ever been deceived?
Oh, my.
Huh? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, as my brother once said to me once, he says, it's not wrong to be wrong, it's wrong to stay wrong.
Right.
And I've been deceived, but you know, I really don't like it if I've been deceived twice on the same matter.
Yeah.
So like that one, it says, you deceive me once, shame on you. Deceive me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
Huh? And we are to be in a place that we need to discern. I want to share with you something the Lord brought me in the spring of the year. And it never occurred to me till today, as the word has been going forth this weekend. I might have shared it in our local fellowship, but I don't think anywhere here in America. I did share it in Lagos. But back in the spring of the year, I had this dream. The dream is in two parts. And the first part of the dream, I was up on Grand View Avenue. Grand View. You know, it's something, brethren, I don't know why it is, but God takes things in your life and teaches you His principles. You know, there was a prophet in the Old Testament. I forget, was it Amos who was a shepherd? Huh? Was it Amos? Which one was the shepherd? He says, I was no prophet. I was just a shepherd. He was a farmer. He says, I was no prophet. I was a farmer. But God came and talked to me. Well, there are certain things in that God has worked when He comes and visits me in the night season. He always used everything in my past or in my familiar surroundings to speak certain things. I think a lot of you have heard many times that I would have something that would deal with my father's house, and the house that I lived in was a three-story house. Three-story house. Well, I find myself on certain dreams being on certain streets in Dubuque. One being University Avenue, Universal. Another one is Grand View Avenue, Grand View. You know, it talks about being in a higher place, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, to those who don't know Dubuque, if you go out this door, University, if you go right down there, three blocks connects with Grand View Avenue. Take a right, and you're on what used to be probably the most beautiful part of the city. It still is beautiful today, very well-to-do houses, but it sits up on the bluff that overlooks the city. So, in this dream, I was on Grand View Avenue, and I was delivering mail. Again, something very familiar to me. And I was delivering packages to households. Now, the interesting thing about it was the packages that I had, that not every house was receiving a package. Just certain ones. You know, in mail delivery, it would be that way. You deliver mail, but, you know, maybe in a block, may only give one or two packages. It's probably a little more today. But I was delivering packages nonetheless, and all of a sudden, a pack of dogs, mixed dogs, came out between the houses, and it stopped the mail delivery. You know, hey, if you're a mail carrier, you see a bunch of dogs, you know, Jim, get in your truck, you know. Why? You can't. You don't know what they're going to do. And these dogs, you know, and when you get a pack of dogs, you have no idea. You know, one dog's bad enough, but get a pack of dogs, that's 5-10 times as worse. But for whatever reason, it stopped the deliveries. I knew I could no more deliver any packages in that area for the time being. So I went from one part of Grandview, this was on South Grandview, I went to North Grandview, and I realized, well, if the dogs leave, then I will come back and make deliveries. But it, in a sense, it stopped the delivery of packages. Hallelujah. How many of us are ever hindered by the devil? Huh? God has a plan. God has a purpose. You can do it in your own personal life. You could put that in the place of your locality, your local fellowship, the work you're doing there. You could put it on a corporate or missionary scale, that many times we are thwarted by the enemy. Amen? So now I'll share with you the second part of the dream. The second part of the dream was we were going to enter into a meeting hall. And as I was outside to go into the meeting hall, I saw, as it were, a person standing on the outside of the door. Now, all I can tell you was that person moved in the prophetic ministry. They were at the door. And the next thing I knew was I was before the Lord, sort of like a man who would be prostrate before God. And I was saying to the Lord, I was crying out to the Lord, as if interceding. And I said, Lord, I said, what do you want? Let's see, how did I say? I said, Lord, what would you have that we can feed your people? That's what I asked the Lord. And the Lord said, he said, I want you to teach my people to discern. I want you to teach my people to discern. That was the dream. You know, I've been meditating on that for much time. And even as this conference was going, we were together in a meeting here this afternoon, seeing the thread that God has been doing since the start of this conference. That God is really wanting to wake up the church. In Matthew 24, it says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place where it ought not to stand, we are to flee into the mountains. Huh? Someone shared today, when the Son of perdition shall be revealed. Huh? I think we were talking recently and someone said, you know, we always used to think it would come out there. Where's Sister Lucy? Is she here? Remember Lucy, last night you were talking? I always thought it would be some momentous moment like 9/11. All of a sudden the Antichrist would appear on the scene. She goes, I don't think it's going to happen that way anymore. And the Word says in Matthew, what does it say in Matthew 24? It says, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. If it was possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to discern the Spirit of God in this hour. How many of us feel we need more discernment? I certainly do. I want to tell you a little story. It came to me this week and I started wondering why, until today, why this thought came back to me. We had a meetings, and I'm going to try to be very generic because I don't want you to pin me down on who, what, or where. You know, I'm trying to protect the innocent. But back in the, I'll go by the decades, in the 1980s, there was a call for a special corporate meeting in the United States. I won't even say the name of the place. And we gathered together, and there's probably some of you here that were there. But anyway, we were called into this meeting because we knew it was the end time. You know, it was a genuine call for a meeting because we needed to discuss what we were going to do in this hour. How can we be prepared? What are we going to do? And so the meeting was called, and many people came from all over the United States, flew in just for that meeting. And so we gathered that day, I don't know, Sue, what was there, about 50, 60 people there, I think? 50 or 60 people. And I'm not talking about people that were just born again. I'm talking about people that were seasoned in the Word of God. We're talking about people that were traveling overseas, ministering and coming from different places, but who God had joined together. Do you understand? And we came from representative of fellowships all over the nation. And we gathered together. But there was something that happened that day that to this day, I could guarantee that out of those 60 people, there are still not yet 10 or 12 people that still knew what actually happened that day. And the reason why I was a little privy to it, and several of us from Dubuque, because we were close to a situation. And so anyway, one of the people that were in that conference got up and began to minister. But that person that got up to minister had a problem, a spiritual problem. And it began to be noticed, and it was picked up by a couple of people. And again, I'm trying to keep it all clean. I don't want to say too many things on it. But there, a couple of people picked up on it. And one individual in particular approached the person and said, you know, if you will just share with us what's really in your heart, it might touch all of us here today. But the person went on and it was all covered over. Now, almost everyone in that room, we all knew one another. Just almost sort of like here. All right? We fellowshiped with one another. We broke bread. We did all sorts of things. But one of these brothers brought in a man who none of us ever knew. Never met before. Nobody had met him. And as this brother's up and we're going on and the meeting's going far off of where we were going, the brother that came in that nobody knew got up and said, brother, you know, please, if you would just open up, you know. And the brother got offended. He says, what are you talking about? He goes, God, show me something. I just don't want to say it. But if you come out in the hallway, I'll tell you. He goes, no. He goes, I'm not going to go out in any hallway. And he went on. And finally, the brother came out. And he said, brother, he goes, can't you see you have a religious spirit? Well, I'm telling you, when that man said that, all pandemonium broke loose in that whole room. Oh, yes. People rose up in indignation. One person who was supposed to have the gift of discernment rose up and says, "Brother, I don't think he has the spirit of a religious spirit, but you have a religious spirit." And all of a sudden, a number of people rushed over to the brother and says, "Oh, no, no, not you, brother, not you, brother." You know, they were his friend. They were someone who he knew. Hallelujah. And several of us just watched in amazement because we knew that there was a problem. We didn't know the depth of the problem until about 4 or 5 months later. Brother DeCille came and he began to share with me that the man that had gotten up had a true vision of God. Do you understand? And that what he saw was something that was very detrimental to the man's life, and God was giving him an avenue to repent. But the problem was that in this place, of people that have walked many years with the Lord could not discern the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Frightening, isn't it? It really is frightening. Hallelujah. We have been taught through the apostolic word of how to discern. How we're not to know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, anytime someone gets up to minister, we should be, you know, not critical, but discerning. You know, it says, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So if a man is up ministering the Word of God, and you have the Spirit of God, that should be witnessing in us, whether it is of God or not. Hallelujah. Now sometimes ministry do have off days. Huh? Sometimes ministries are a little more anointed than other times.
Musicians too.
Oh yeah, ministry. There is fivefold ministry. There's ministries of different things. There's ministries of government, health. There's various parts. But the place is being in the Spirit of God. Yeah. It's being in the Spirit and in the anointing of God. And do you know, brethren, I'm sharing this because I believe, and I'm saying it for myself, I fear God that I am not, that to come into a place that I cannot discern the Spirit of God, I'm in trouble.
Amen.
And now is the time for us to know God, because we're coming, it's getting darker and darker, and we have to be able to know and to discern the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we have to discern because, you know, some of our brethren that have been called to hear are choosing to come back out here. And we have to discern and to know, you know, as much as I love my brethren, but I have to go on, and my brethren have to go on. And the best thing you could do for me is, if I'm not going on, you need to pray for me. Hallelujah. But I don't want to be deceived in believing my brother is in a certain place when he's not. What good is it for the brother, and what good is it for me? Huh? You know, there's another little lesson that the Lord showed me very early in my life. Not physical life, spiritual life. Was that I was to have no best friends. In fact, we had a place where our fellowship broke apart in the mid 80s. But I had a little problem when I was first saved. I loved the Lord, but I was walking with some people that also loved the Lord, but we also had certain appetites, and so we got to like each other so much we preferred to be with that person than anybody else. You know, well. Few people didn't show up. That's all right. You know, you're still here, you know. And we would find ourselves doing things. But when God allowed what needed to be done in order for the church to go on, it taught me a lesson. You know, my only best friend really is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when I determined I will never put and say, this is my best friend, because Jesus is my best friend. Do you know what I found out? I got many best friends now. I got many people that I'm joined together by the Spirit that loves me, and I love them, and I respect them in the Lord. But you know, when I had that best friend, you know what we were doing? We were doing carnal things. We were watching football games together. We were going to doing this and this and this and that. Do you know, I have a lot of people that I consider so close now, and some I've never watched a football game with. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, to be on the basis of fellowship because of fellowship alone. Because you can easily be pulled back into the place in which you're brought out of.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're to discern. You know, I was looking into the word in Corinthians. A lot of things that Brother DeSeal taught us, I don't leave go of. I just don't. Especially things that have been inculcated into my mind as he sat into the meetings. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, I'm paraphrasing, he says, I'm sharing this thing over. He goes, to you it may be seem grievous, but to me it's safe. Do you understand what I'm saying? The things that we hear over and over and over again. But if they're by the Spirit, it's life. Life. Life being poured into us that is making a solid foundation in our life so that we will not be moved. Hallelujah. We may be shaken. Oh yes, we may be shaken. I'm shaken a lot. But you know, I'm not going to be moved if I believe in the Lord. Amen? Alright, if we go to, where it says, not discerning the Lord's body. Is it in 1 Corinthians 11, 29? And it talks about the communion. Of course, you know, I'm talking to a people. We broke bread, you know, partaking of the Lord's Supper. But we see that it's on two levels, right? You do a natural breaking, and it should be done. But there's also a spiritual communion that we're having, right? But it is important as we are communion and feeding upon the Lord. It says here in verse 26, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This weekend that we're here, a lot is being spoken about the condition of the heart. What is in our heart? What is the thing that's going to that has the probability to pull us away from God? That will cause us to lose out in our calling election. You know, when I was hearing this morning about the locust spirits, especially the thing that comes in and robs. This is what we're facing as a people of God in this hour. And there's something that we have to do individually first and foremost is to allow God to invade our temple and to drive out all things that offend in His kingdom. Amen? So if we're not willing to do business with God, we are sitting here eating and drinking damnation unto ourselves if we don't open our heart up to God. That's why it's important to respond to God. And I don't care if you're young in the Lord or if you're old in the Lord, we have the same responsibility together on that level before God. Because we're standing before the throne of God, and God's looking at every heart. He sees everything. He knows everything about us. He knows all of our strengths. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows the things that so easily besets me. Hallelujah. Don't they ever come up before you as you're sitting in the meetings? Come on. Doesn't it come up? Who do you think's bringing it up? Do you think the devil's bringing it up? Is the devil bringing it up to you, Johanna, things that you need to repent of? I don't think so. I think it's the Spirit of God. I think it's the Spirit of God always coming to bring conviction, to bring about repentance. Hallelujah. Another thing that was spoken one time many years ago by Brother DeSilva says, in every meeting there should be repentance. Huh? If you come into a meeting and there's no repentance, you got to wonder where the Holy Spirit was. Because the Holy Spirit is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. So when we feel these thoughts come and we know that God's convicted, we need to go, we need to cry out to God. Come on. We need to cry out to God. And whatever it is, even if it's the most foolish thing you could ever do, do it. Huh? I remember in Turlock, 1989, we were in a meeting. I think it was the first opening meeting in Turlock. And Brother Ducey was up ministering. And as he's ministering, I'm being convicted. I'm being convicted because all of a sudden, a lot of things are coming before me. And And what it was God was convicting me of a besetting sin. And God had brought me a dream about my father's house. Not my spiritual father's house, but my natural father's house. And the things that had bound him that was binding me. And as we were going on, and I'm feeling more convicted. And we had just got back. Turlock was in March of 1989. Brother Bert, we had just got back when we were with Mark in New York. We went to Iceland. So Brother Bert says at the end of the meeting, I'm sitting there being convicted. And Brother Bert says, Brother George, will you close the meeting in prayer? Do you know what I did? Oh, that was the last thing on my mind. My mind was, I need deliverance. Rip, I could have ripped my shirt. You know what I did? There was not a middle aisle like this. All the chairs were together. You remember, Sue, we were sitting back about eight rows? You know what I did? There was a number of empty seats. I just pushed the chairs aside. I came up and go, I need prayer. No, that's feeling looking a little funny. You know, oh, here's Brother George. Will you close in prayer? Oh, no, pray for me. I need deliverance.
Hallelujah.
And deliverance I got that day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They began to pray over me. And the man started to see something that was coming from the family spirits down my line. And I was going, you ever sit there in your prayer and all of a sudden someone's saying something? You go, what? Is this what's binding me? You know, I had no idea. But God knew, because God knew my heart. And I wanted deliverance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And there was something else that the brother shared with me afterwards. He said, you know, it's not like a magic wand. And if you ever hear anybody minister, you'll know who said it. He says, you know, deliverance isn't a magic wand that now you're totally set free. He says, what has been given a blow is the Spirit that day. He says, but now you got the power. You got to work to drive that out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, brethren, honestly, I'll be very honest. Many years when I was a young Christian, I was loaded with condemnation and all sorts of things. And a lot of times I walked out of meetings and I wasn't delivered. But do you know what? Was the problem with the meetings? No, it was me. I was afraid to ask for prayer. Hallelujah. Back in 1987, boy, talk about telling on myself. Back in 1987, we were in a meeting. And in the meeting, Bert, can I? Yeah, you were with me. I might as well tell you that too. There was this man, when he first started to minister, was in 1987. He had fasted for, I don't know, a couple of weeks, and he came to Illinois. You remember that? You don't remember it. Well, I'll remember it. Well, anyway, there was a call for prayer. Well, by after 4 or 5 years of being in meetings and being beat up by the devil, I thought, you know, I'm not going to walk away from it. I need prayer, you know? And I go, okay, God, all right, God, I'm ready to confess every sin. I'm ready to confess, and I'm going to go up, I'm going to confess every sin. I'm starting to walk up. The man, Bert didn't even know me at the time outside. I met him once in 82. And he said, brother, he says, as you're walking up, he says, I saw the devil lashing you, whipping you on your back. I go, whoa. He goes, the spirit of condemnation. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, wow, praise the Lord. And then he did another thing to me. He says, and he goes, I want to tell you something. He goes, you got a spirit. He goes, but you, there's a spirit that troubles you that troubles me. He goes, I want you to lay hands on me and rebuke that spirit.
Hallelujah.
This man's up ministering and praying. I come up for prayer, and he wants me to lay hands on him. I'm sitting there, you know, 20, 50 people around. I put hands on him. I go, God, I don't know what to pray. And all of a sudden I go, Lord, I rebuke the spirit of fear. And I hear Bert going, yes. I go, you don't rebuke it. Hallelujah. Deliverance. You know, the Spirit, what told him to tell me to lay hands on him that we had the same problem, but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We need to pray, brethren, for God to come back to visit us in that power and anointing. Hallelujah. We saw it in Africa. Africa was something that has happened in the last 2 years that has been phenomenal for me, that I have had to see firsthand witness of what God has been doing. When we saw the youth conference last year and then this year, it has been nothing short of phenomenal. Now, was it all roses? No. There was a lot of work through, wasn't it, Brother Jokes? We had to work through different things. But there was a hunger there. And as we prayed and as the young people wanted God, the Spirit of God fell in the midst. And not only there, not only the youth conference, we saw it, we'd go to Liberia and we started seeing things there. Sierra Leone. I'm telling you, brethren, God is moving. But, you know, I have to move with God. I have to say, God, if I want you, I have to ask God, help me, deliver me, set me free. But you know what part of the problem was? I had shared this several years ago, and I really believe it's true. You know, we read about what Jesus says about different things, but if you really are honest with yourself, you know, he says, if you will first take the mote out of your eye. Wait. Okay. Before you can take the mote out of your brother's eye, first take the beam out of your own eye. Then you will be able to clearly see and take that mote out of your brother's eye. The problem is everybody's walking around with these big beams. Hallelujah. And they're all wanting to deliver the church. They all know the answer to the church. Yeah, it's not true. My God, help us. I'm busy trying to get my own life in order. But you know, as I'm diligent in that, somehow God then says, okay, brother, go. Who me? Why would you want me? I'm still battling. But see, the thing is, it's not you that decides to go. It's God that sends you. And if God sends you, he sends you with the anointing and the power and the authority. Amen? Let me finish this part in Corinthians. Okay, it says here, where did I stop? Did I read 27? Yes. And it says, verse 28, but let a man examine himself. I think we need to be examining ourselves here this weekend. Yeah. Amen? You know, some of you people have come from so far. I look at Mark and Patty Lesage. God bless you, Mark and Patty, to fly up here and come to be at this conference. I look at Sister Domo. She traveled all the way from Nigeria just for this conference, and she's going back on Wednesday to fly back to Nigeria. Now, that's what you would call coming a long way for a conference. Hallelujah. And I believe she's asking God to do something in her life, and I am wanting to see God do something. I'm willing to stand with my sister. Whatever need she has, whether it's a burden for the work in Nigeria, whatever it may be, I don't know, Sister Domo, but I believe that I'm going to stand with you, that God is going to do everything that's in your heart and your desire. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Same way with you, Sister Lucy. Even though you came by Dubuque, via Ohio, that doesn't mean that God is going to forget your desire for the truth and what you want God to do. And whether it's them, whether it's any of us here, just be like Hannah. Amen. Hannah had something that she was desiring, but she went to God, and what she was willing to give up the very thing she was desiring if she would have it. She says, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him unto you. Amen. And I believe God is wanting us to have that dedication. But let us go back here. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Yeah. We heap judgment upon ourselves if we move out of the Spirit, if we move based on something the devil has told us. Hallelujah. We as a people just need to repent of our propensity not only to listen, but to submit to the devil. Mm. Hallelujah. So that we might be set free first and foremost, so then we are able to set others free. But it says here, not discerning the Lord's body. Hallelujah. And if you're discerning not only the body of the Lord, but say you're discerning someone who's not of the body, but you know that there's a calling election in their lives, there is a responsibility for us to pray. There's a responsibility for us to walk in a place of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, don't you get sick and tired of humanity inside of you? Amen. Hallelujah. But I found something. If you want something, if you hate something more than you want it, that's your key to deliverance. Huh? So if you hate being human more than you want being human, you can be delivered. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, Shannon? Why do I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do? It's because Paul came to an understanding of the war going on in his nature. But when he came to that, he also had a revelation from God how he could overcome it.
Amen.
And he said, okay, this body of sin sins. Kill it. Kill it. But with my mind, I'm going to serve God. You were talking about this morning. Having that mind stayed on God. If you are wanting God, there's no demon in hell that's going to be able to withstand your deliverance. Amen. If you want God more than anything else, God's going to give it to you. So this weekend, pray. What do you want God to do? What is it you want God? I want God to give me a better discernment of His church. And with discernment, then comes a wisdom and understanding what you do with your God's church. Huh? There's something that happens. We should be of a discerning people to be able to discern whether a person is saved or not. Right, who are you to judge my salvation? Well, I don't know, but you know, it says that they'll know them by their fruit. Has God ever led you as you're talking with somebody and you're aware that the person's saying they're saved, but they're not really saved? Huh? I'm sure that's happened to you. What's that? Did I say it right, honey? Okay, good. I have to look at my wife. Did I say the words right or not? But do you know when that thought comes to you that God is also giving and equipping you the wisdom of the words to say to lead that person or to help that person see that he needs salvation or she needs that salvation? Wisdom from above. It was talked about here. You know, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we truly fear God, how many of us want to be wise? Huh? And you know, when you look at Solomon, and I'm closing here. When you look at Solomon, when Solomon did something that pleased God, because God came to him in a dream and says, what do you want? He didn't ask for riches. He says, Lord, who am I to rule over this, your people? He said, Lord, if you will give me a discerning heart so that I can know between good and evil. Huh? And God blessed him with the wisdom. Because he looked and he saw that his heart was right. And not only blessed him, he gave him everything else, but that ended up being part of Solomon's downfall. Nevertheless, God saw that his heart was right at that time and God imparted because he wanted to be able to discern between good and evil. Gets us back to this what God is saying here this weekend. We are living in a time where good is being called evil and evil is being called good. We have to know the Spirit of God so that we stand in that place. You know, not only out there, but in the church as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So may God help us, brethren. May God help us to know what the Spirit of God is saying. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray because that dream that I had, there is a job we have to do, but we are being hindered.
Oh, yeah.
But nevertheless, God will help us to overcome the hindrances. But God said, you teach my people to discern. So I encourage you, pray individually. Pray as your fellowship. Lord, teach us how to discern. We need to come up higher. We need to discern between good and evil. We need to discern your Spirit in our midst. Amen? Because all this is training ground. Because someday a man could come into your midst. Remember what Brother Cecil said? Remember the one man, it was, what's his name, that came in and he says, I am Christ. And he come in and he was shocked. The brethren didn't get up. Maybe a couple left, but the majority stayed. He said it was their downfall because that was the first entrance in that they took in the lie. Now, however he said it didn't matter. The spirit that the man came in was false. But the church didn't discern it. Hallelujah. So may God help us to discern in this hour. We really need God to help us to discern. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
You know, the Lord's put a lot on our plate today.
You know, earlier I felt that we should have a time, and I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, to respond to some of what God's been speaking to us. It's the part of discernment. You know, I was thinking of some of Brother Jajoki's word today about
thing really hit me about the enticements of the world and how much we're involved in that realm and how much it's taken the life from the church. You know, God's been speaking to us. And it's good that we respond to what God's been bringing to us. You know, God wants us to have more life, more energy, more of the Spirit of God. And you know, the way we get it is to go down, to humble our hearts and say, God, you know, replace the things in our lives that aren't important. You know, you find that we're only given an element of time to serve God. And you know, I see my life is passing, brethren. But yet as God is calling us, you know, I think of some of Brother Bert's word last night. And you know, I felt such an invitation to give ourselves to God. I mean, didn't you feel the stirring of God? Don't you feel that you want to give yourself to God? To let God use you in this hour? You know, the door seems to be open for us, brethren. You know, many of us have heard this word years and years. And now God is thrusting in. You know, Africa was such a blessing. To go, to see the fields. And God is calling you and I. Hallelujah. What is our response, brethren? You know, what is our response to the Spirit of God? To lay down all. Hallelujah. You know, I come, I want to change. I want the life and the vitality of God. You know, I feel the touch of it. Don't you feel God touching you every once in a while? And you know, God's Spirit is limitless, brethren. The more we open to God, the more we give to God. Hallelujah. God will surely give back to us. I don't know how God has touched you, but God's Spirit is wooing us, brethren. Hallelujah. Maybe we could pray and... You know, we should pray that God would continue to move in the vein that touches all of us. Let's just pray. Let's go to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you today, Lord. Lord, we pray that our hearts might be open, God. Lord, touch us, Lord. Father, we ask that you would open each one of us, God. Hallelujah, to the life of God, to what you want to do with us, God. Lord, there's many here, God, that need a touch, Lord. So, Father, we pray that, Lord, as we continue, Lord, in our meetings, God, that your Spirit would just fall upon us, Lord. Lord, every spirit, God, that even is against us today, Lord, Father, we pray that you would quicken us, O God. Let your life flow, Lord. Let your energy flow. Lord, let repentance flow, God. Hallelujah. Lord, break up the stony ground, Lord. Lord, that we might offer you, Lord, a offering in righteousness, O God. Lord, cleanse your temple, we pray, Lord. And Lord, let your Spirit touch each one of us, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we just ask now, God, that you continue to move in our midst, Lord. Lord, that we would give you the liberty, God, to touch every area in our soul, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank you today, Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.